Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today we're talking to Dr. Philippa Cheatham, who's a board-certified urological surgeon from the United Kingdom, now in residence at Winthrop University Hospital. She collaborates with Dr. Aaron Katz. In fact, she is the co-host of Katz's Corner, which can be heard live each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Got to get up early to listen to this show because it's got the 411 on men's health problems and specifically urological issues. It sounds like an unlikely subject, but that is a fascinating program not to be missed. It's on WABC 77 or 770 on the dial in New York City. And of course, Philippa, you can get podcasts of that program as well, correct?
That's right. Podcasts are on wabcradio.com under Katz's Corner. And of course, you can tune in live online as well, Ron.
And hopefully this interview will serve as an appetizer for men and women who care for a man for an upcoming men's health seminar that you're conducting in Long Island, Nassau County. Tell us about that.
So we're doing our sixth men's health seminar, Ron. This is Father's Day weekend. It's Saturday, June the 14th. It's at the Garden City Hotel in Garden City. And all of the information is available online, the program, the schedule, everything you need to know to register. If you go to menshealthseminar.com, or for those people who are not on the internet, Joanne, our coordinator, is available on the telephone, 516-663-9615. Thanks, Ron.
And, of course, there's going to be delicious cuisine there. You're going to serve meatball heroes and pepperoni pizza, all you can eat, correct?
Certainly not. And, in fact, when we started our seminar, we were at Columbia University Medical Center.
Right.
And at the time, they insisted that we use their caterers.
That's always fun.
And here we were trying to educate men about how to eat healthily for their heart.
And it was embarrassing.
And it was embarrassing when there was beef sandwiches. So we took it away from the hospital setting, and we now do the seminar in the beautiful Garden City Hotel, and the whole catering for the whole day, breakfast, lunch, afternoon tea, is all focused on prostate health. And of course, what's good for your prostate, as you know, is good for your heart.
Indeed. So let's focus on the subject of active holistic surveillance. Tell us, you know, give us a profile of a man who might be, who has a diagnosis of prostate cancer, yet might not need immediate surgery or radiation, and can embark on such a program.
So, I mean, the first thing to say with the holistic approach, Ron, is that I tell my patients that it's never too early to consider a holistic approach to prostate cancer management, regardless of grade or stage or how localized or advanced the disease may be. And I also tell patients it's never too late to consider that. You know, we know that prevention is important, but there are many studies out there that have shown that even patients with advanced disease, metastatic disease that spread from the prostate, they can benefit from a holistic regime. As far as active surveillance goes for the typical patient for active, who is eligible for active holistic surveillance, is a patient who has low-grade disease, what we would usually call Gleason 6 disease, that's determined on the prostate biopsy. And usually somebody who has minimal core involvement. So when we do a prostate biopsy, typically we take 6 cores from the left side of the prostate, 6 cores from the right side of the prostate. So we're really looking to focus on men who have low-grade, low-volume disease, 1 or 2 cores maximum, with prostate cancer that's a Gleason 6. And holistic surveillance is also appropriate for patients who have precancerous changes in the prostate, what we know typically as high-grade PIN. And these are men who often seek out a holistic approach. They've already decided they do not want surgery. They've already decided they do not want radiation. Because
and this is actually, to some extent, is an individual decision, because there's some men who, faced with a choice of, you know, you got to be very careful with diet and you have to keep coming back for tests and checkups, they'd rather say, look, just take care of it. You know, it's a matter almost of personal preference. And it's akin to a decision by a woman, perhaps, to have a prophylactic mastectomy in a case where there's a high risk of cancer.
Well, that's right. And I mean, you know, individual views and, you know, desires about considering different treatment options certainly come into it. And often, you know, a patient will say, I want to go down the surveillance route. And it may be the spouse who says, absolutely not. I want you to have your prostate removed because I'm concerned that your cancer may come back. But I will say that, you know, unfortunately, there is, in this country in particular, there are financial incentives for doctors and centers to offer treatments that the patient may not need.
Wow.
I mean, many patients, as you know, have had radiation therapy, extensive radiation to their pelvis, to treat prostate cancer that's going to have absolutely no bearing on their life expectancy whatsoever.
Wow. And that might be, the case might be, you know, say an 85-year-old who has prostate cancer. You know, we don't want to write people off and say that they're expendable, but if a prostate cancer is slow growing and, you know, an 85-year-old might be severely compromised by the harshness of the therapy, you know, suffering from incontinence, potency problems, you know, maybe not a good idea to go there. There's some studies that suggest that with or without treatment, the life expectancy is the same.
That's right. And I mean, I think that, you know, there's been a huge amount of publicity about the side effects of surgery, with the continence side effects that you've mentioned, and issues with sexual function. And there's nothing worse than taking a patient who has no symptoms at all, and then they're miserable because of the quality of life side effects that when they may not have needed the surgery at all. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't people who need surgery, and some patients do extremely well, and the side effects can be minimal for some patients, and it's not just about the surgery, it's about the aftercare as well. But it, you know, I think that the patients need to be offered all appropriate treatments, and many patients are only offered one treatment. And I think the holistic approach also drives in a lot of patients who are keen to avoid radiation and may wish to consider the minimally invasive procedures, such as the freezing of the prostate, the cryotherapy. We are about to get approval for focused ultrasound, this HIFU procedure that's been going on in Europe for over 20 years now. And this is, you know, particularly suitable for patients who have disease that's confined to one side of the gland. And we're seeing many more patients coming in asking about that. But as you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
So say the patient is a candidate for, and by the way, there's a poster child for that, a celebrity patient who, you know, I think he himself has divulged that he is a patient of Dr. Katz, who is Imus, the radio personality. And it was determined that he was eligible for active holistic surveillance. Undertook it, you know, quite a few years ago. It seems like, you know,
three, four
years ago he announced it. And his wife Deirdre is extremely committed to a lifestyle approach. She is very proactive on that front. And so he's on a very committed exercise program with a fabulous diet and proper nutritional supplementation, which we can talk a little bit about. And so far, so good.
That's right. And it's no breach of confidentiality to talk about Don Imus and his prostate cancer, because, as you say, he's been extremely vocal on his TV and radio show. And, you know, I really take my hat off to what Don has done to educate his listeners and viewers about not only about prostate cancer management, but also really raising awareness to encourage men to go and see their urologist to discuss urinary symptoms, to address the diet and lifestyle issues, and also to discuss whether they should have a PSA test and to consider these options.
So talk a little bit about the supplements that may be involved in an active holistic surveillance approach. You know, I'm clicking on your website at drcheatham.com. CHEETAM.com. It's CHEETAM. Recommended supplements include something that we like, AHCC, Active Hexose Correlated Compound.
That's right. I mean, when I first came across this about 5 years ago, Ron, I was extremely skeptical about the role for supplements in managing prostate cancer. And actually, I took a trip to Sapporo, Japan, where AHCC is manufactured. And AHCC is actually derived from the roots of a shiitake mushroom, as you know, grown in a rice bran extract and cultivated for about 60 days. And there's been a huge amount of research, predominantly basic science research, over the last 20 years, looking at the effects, not just in prostate cancer, but in many cancers. And AHCC results in an upregulation of the immune system. And we know that it results in increase in a number of cells in the blood that are associated with immune function, such as dendritic cells, macrophages, cytokines, natural killer cells. And I've seen some phenomenal results with PSA reductions in patients who are on an active surveillance program taking 3 grams daily. And we have certainly seen improvements in biopsies. And we have a number of ongoing studies looking at the benefit of AHCC in our active surveillance patients. We've also used this in patients with advanced prostate cancer. And as you know, there are many other studies that have looked at not just AHCC, but things like polyphenols in green tea in patients with metastatic prostate cancer, where we can look at PSA doubling time, how quickly the PSA doubles. And certainly many of these supplements can influence doubling time and ultimately have been shown to have some benefit on long-term survival.
I see you also have broccoli seed extract featured on your website.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that any of these supplements or extracts are substitutes for a healthy diet. We know that the green leafy vegetables, broccoli, spinach, kale, cauliflower, are rich in the isoflurane, the antioxidants that have been shown to reduce prostate cancer cell growth. But many patients just don't eat an appropriate amount of the crucifer vegetables. And I think for those kind of patients, there can be a benefit to supplementing their diet with these kinds of supplements.
Well, we actually have several patients at the Hoffman Center who are undergoing active holistic surveillance, obviously in conjunction with a urologist, and they're promising to get their PSA monitored. And what's interesting is that they're requiring fewer biopsies. Many of them are told, okay, you know, now you can go for, you know, a biopsy every couple of years. And their PSAs are stabilizing, and it's working out fine. Flaxseed is another thing that you can either take as a dietary element, sprinkle flaxseed over your salads or over your cereal, or alternatively, there are flaxseed lignin supplements as well, correct?
That's right. So, I mean, flax is very rich in lignans, and there was a huge cat amongst the pigeons a few years ago when there was that very flawed study presented or published looking at flax oil and suggesting
that the flax oil promoted the prostate cancer.
It was a very flawed study because they extrapolated lignans from beef, and somebody came up with the bright idea that if beef lignans result in worsening prostate cancer and flax is derived from lignans, then that will result in progression of disease. But there's been absolutely no evidence to support that. And we know that flax and lignans are a very rich source of omega-3. So again, there's huge benefits to patients with cardiac health as well as prostate health. And I tell my patients, you know, you can take as much flax oil as you want, and you know when you're taking too much because it can give you diarrhea. But other than that, many patients go for the flax seed rather than the flax oil. Mm-hmm. And there's many variations of the flax oil now. But if you're going to take the flax oil, it needs to be in a glass bottle and not purchased in a plastic bottle, because that can result in denaturing of the flax oil, as you know.
And you can get a high lignin flaxseed oil that has a nice, well, it has sort of a slurry. Unless you shake it up, it's not going to mix properly, but that the lignins settle to the bottom, and that's a good way to get your lignins as well. Lycopene on the list, a traditional prostate helper.
That's right. And again, it's another chemical that's had quite a degree of controversy around it regarding prostate cancer. Lycopene is the chemical that gives tomatoes their red color, and it's also present in watermelon as well. And lycopene has been shown in a number of studies to be prostate cancer protective. And in fact, the best studies looking at looking at lycopene have looked at stewed, cooked tomatoes as opposed to the raw tomatoes, and that's been thought to be more protective than just eating raw tomatoes. But there are some studies that have shown some conflicting evidence, but we know that the Mediterranean diet has many advantages, and the key, as I said before, these supplements are not a substitute. We want to make sure that you're on a diet that is low in red meat, low in saturated fats, trans fats, fried foods, and rich in the green leafy vegetables. And of course, the purple fruits, we've not talked about that, but the purple fruits like blueberries, blackberries, red grapes,
pomegranate,
all of these are extremely rich in the antioxidant resveratrol, which has also been shown to have some prostate cancer protective qualities.
And then there's vitamin D and Zyflamend on your list as well.
That's right. I mean, Zyflamend, we did a huge study at Columbia several years ago now, looking at men with precancerous change in the prostate, this high-grade PIN, and putting these patients on Zyflamend and then re-biopsying those. And Zyflamend was initially invented as an anti-arthritic. This is a herbal compound containing about 8 different ingredients, each one of them being shown to have prostate cancer preventative qualities. And it's not only useful in terms of prostate cancer prevention, Ron, but also many patients with prostatitis who are seeking a holistic approach do phenomenally well on Zyflamend. And if you look at markers of inflammation in the blood in patients taking Zyflamend, you can see significant improvements in their overall sort of inflammatory markers.
And notwithstanding some negative publicity, it must have been a couple of years ago. Oh, no, it's probably more like a year ago. The center in Seattle, Hutchinson, the omega-3 fish oil study there suggested that it was a promoter of prostate cancer. There was a lot of blowback on that, and you still list omega-3 fish oil prominently on your website at drcheatham.com as something helpful and preventive.
That's right. I mean, that I will remember that day for a long, long time, because the day that that paper was published and the media seized that information, I received 280 phone calls and emails from very concerned patients about...
Yeah, it was a tough day for me as well.
Right, absolutely. And as you know, again, an extremely flawed study. They were not looking at patients who were actually taking fish oils. And that study has been discredited. And in fact, we did a radio show dedicated to talking through why that paper was so flawed on a radio show to address the concerns. But that study, there is not one grain of evidence in that study that would stop me recommending fish oils for patients with prostate cancer.
Oh, I'm glad you're standing up for that principle, because...
Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center in Seattle. And, you know, they extrapolated data from not dietary information, but from blood levels.
Correct.
That may or may not reflect dietary intake. And there's so many variables there. You know, what was the source of the omega-3? You know, could it be that by eating... some of the men were eating fish that was loaded with PCBs and contaminants, as, you know, most consumers of fish do not consume the highest quality, you know, ocean, you know, virgin ocean bred sockeye salmon. It could have been a marker for poor quality fish oil consumption, or not a marker of fish oil consumption, just not clearly correlated with taking fish oil as in a proper way. So
that's right. And you know about the vitamin E study that was also flawed, where they were looking at the alpha to copper.
Oh, we just talked about that on a podcast just not an hour ago. That's going to be a subject of our one of our podcasts that we just for what you're talking about is the one that says that gamma tocopherol is inferior to alpha tocopherol. But, you're probably going to launch into it. But what they based it on was the consumption of whether people consumed soybean oil or canola oil, a major source of gamma, versus olive oil, which is a source of alpha. And I'm thinking, olive oil is, full of beneficial polyphenols. Yeah, that's actually going to be beneficial for inflammation. They found more lung inflammation in people who consumed a lot of soy oil and a lot of canola oil. No surprise there, because those are relatively high in omega-6, which we know is pro-inflammatory. Is that pretty much your feeling on it?
Absolutely. And I think, what was sad about the vitamin E situation is that when they presented data looking at alpha tocopherol as opposed to gamma, it was Dr. Oz that drew this to the attention of many people, of the general public.
And
it was terrible because he obviously has a huge following, and people believe that he has an interest in integrative medicine. And yet, whenever I see articles in the media like this, you have to go back to the paper and read the scientific paper.
He just doesn't have time. I mean, he's a fabulous guy, and just the sheer volume of what he has to get out there. Sometimes he'll grab for the simplistic headline. Merely to meet a deadline. And I know that if he had an opportunity, he's a smart guy. He would do his due diligence, sit down and read the paper. But at the rate at which he has to put stuff out there, maybe he misses some of the nuances of those studies and does people a disservice. In the remaining couple of minutes we have, and I know this is giving the subject short shrift, but for men with very advanced prostate cancer, once you get past a certain point, you've treated it with surgery or you've treated it with radiation, the cancer comes back, it's pretty bad and the outlook is sometimes grim. But there are actually some helpful and hopeful developments on the cancer front with new developments for prostate cancer. Can you share some of that with us?
Sure. I mean, this is probably one of the most exciting areas of prostate cancer is the huge developments in the management of advanced prostate cancer, particularly like metastatic disease where the prostate cancer is spread out of the prostate. We've been treating men with hormone therapy for advanced prostate cancer for many years now, but patients who can be controlled on hormone therapy, many of them ultimately do relapse despite being on the appropriate hormone therapy.
They get a reprieve for a while. They respond for a while, and it gives them a little bit of a new lease on life, but often that they break through that treatment.
Well, many patients go into remission on hormones, but that is not long-term, and patients can develop hormone resistance where the PSA can start to rise despite being on hormones.
Right.
And we call this castrate-resistant prostate cancer in the business because the hormone levels drive the testosterone down. Mm-hmm. Patients know this as hormone-resistant prostate cancer or, advanced prostate cancer. We have had approval in the last few years. The FDA have approved a number of drugs for treatment.
Provenge is an example of this new wave of medications.
That's right.
It's a custom treatment that's individualized, actually, for men.
That's right. So Provenge is the prostate cancer vaccine, Ron, that was FDA approved, I think, in 2009 or 10. And then we have two new oral agents that we've been using, both which are FDA approved, one called Zytiga and the other called Xtandi. And even in the last few weeks, the American Society of Clinical Oncology, there was data presented from a randomized controlled trial looking at the benefits of early chemotherapy in patients, newly diagnosed patients with advanced prostate cancer. And this study was a National Cancer Institute funded study looking at nearly 800 men. It was a randomized study looking at hormones versus hormones and early chemotherapy. And this study that is at the moment is being published in abstract form, but the final paper is due out shortly, showed an improved survival of 14 months and an even longer survival in patients who had more advanced disease, particularly with disease in the bones. And, you know, people, patients understandably are very frightened by the word chemotherapy. But for prostate cancer, it's typically single agent, an agent called docetaxel. You know, it's not for everybody, but we know that some patients are never offered chemotherapy based on age, but age is not an exclusion. And many patients tolerate it extremely well. This study has shown that early chemotherapy not only increases the chance of a longer time without symptoms, but also patients were shown to live longer in the study. I mean, the average follow-up in this particular study was 29 months. So we do need to have, you know, a longer follow-up period. But it's very exciting that we're seeing more and more papers coming out looking at survival benefits in men with advanced prostate cancer. And there are a number of other drugs pending FDA approval that hopefully will be available for our patients soon.
Okay, well, that's a hopeful message for men suffering from prostate cancers, that the developments are coming fast and furious, and the goal is to keep men alive longer through an ingenious combination of natural therapies along with high-tech or medical interventions so that they can take advantage of emerging therapies that may come on stream in the next couple of years. And you can stay abreast of all these developments if you go to the Men's Health Seminar. Give the information once again, Garden City, New York.
That's right. We'll be talking about both localized and advanced prostate cancer, Ron, the conventional treatments and the holistic treatments. The website is menshealthseminar.com. Garden City Hotel, Saturday, June the 14th, from 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll feed you all day, breakfast, lunch, afternoon tea. And you can also, you do need to register either online at menshealthseminar.com or you can call 516-663-9615.
And it'll be a very, very worthwhile day for you and your significant others who care about the state of your health, if you're a man who's concerned about prostate cancer. And finally, the program, because your program is a never-ending source of information about not just prostate health, but urological health in general. And I'm sure that as soon as new developments are introduced, you're going to discuss them on Katz's Corner. So once again, that's Sunday morning, 7 a.m. WABC, 770 a.m. in New York. And also, you can go to the archive broadcasts. So what's the website for that?
The website is wabcradio.com, Ron, and the show is live. So if anybody has a question about their prostate health, PSA issues, family history, they can call us live in the studio every Sunday.
Great. Well, thanks very much for joining us, and it was a very, very informative discussion. And I wish you a very, very successful seminar.
Thank you very much, Ron, and thank you for the opportunity to come on the show. Thank you.
My pleasure. Dr. Philippa Cheatham, thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.